Tim, a breathing coach. Is there any easier job? In, out, in, out. Surely there must be something to it.
Yeah, well, there is something to it. It's not just simply making sure that someone's breathing. I think we all manage that fairly well. Well, actually, we don't manage it very well. We manage to do it, but we don't do it well. So there is a lot more to it than you would think, because the average person breathes, most of us don't know it, but the average person breathes nowhere near the way we should. Most of us breathe twice as often as we should, and we breathe with far too much volume. We use our mouth as well as our nose, instead of mostly our nose. Our mouth is only really used for emergencies like high levels of exercise or if someone scares us and we do a big, you know, gasp. So yeah, we do what we call overbreathe, but most of us don't realize we take our breathing for granted, but most of us overbreathe and it has an impact on our health, performance, everything.
Well, the obvious question is, what sort of impact does breathing twice as often as we should have on us?
Essentially, it upsets the delicate balance in our respiratory system that dictates how we get oxygen from the air that we breathe into our lungs, into our cells for energy production. So that's the purpose of breathing, is to make energy. When we breathe too much volume and too often, we upset that balance quite dramatically, and that impairs our ability to produce energy. And then there's a thing called the respiratory center in the hypothalamus in the brainstem, and it regulates all of our automatic functions. So in order to compensate, if we overbreathe too much, then our hypothalamus will start making some changes to our functioning. One of those is it can cause apnea episodes where we stop breathing. So the classic apnea is when a person's snoring away at night with their mouth open, we lose too much carbon dioxide. And carbon dioxide is what we exhale after making energy, but it's not just a waste gas. It's actually essential in getting oxygen to our cells for energy production. So it facilitates how we get it to our cells. Without the carbon dioxide, you wouldn't get oxygen to your cells. And if it gets too low because we're exhaling too much, then our body will stop us breathing to elevate the CO2 and therefore have us more functional.
There's sleep apnea. But what about if we're breathing too often during the day? What sort of impact can that have on our health?
Well, there's two things. You can have what we call daytime apneas, and they're a result of forgetting to breathe, so to speak. So if you're concentrating on something or you're tired and you forget to breathe, what can often happen is then the compensation might be a sigh or a yawn, and that's the body blowing off some air because we've forgotten to breathe. The other thing that the body will do to compensate is to constrict the smooth muscle around our breathing tubes. And by constricting the smooth muscle, it narrows the diameter of your airways, and therefore you lose less carbon dioxide, or it doesn't allow you to breathe as much air. As a result, then, a classic case of that is where people start to experience breathing difficulties like tightness of chest or wheezing, asthma symptoms. They're classic symptoms of constriction in our breathing tubes. However, all the other tubes in our body are surrounded by smooth muscle, and you can often see with people digestive complaints like IBS or constipation or reflux, particularly IBS and reflux, they're, in most cases, they're worse when you're stressed. And a high percentage of people with IBS also have associated anxiety. Now, what do you do when you're anxious or you're stressed? You breathe more rapidly, and therefore, you basically, one of the things that can be happening here is that you can put your gut into lockdown. So a lot of people with these conditions will, you know, do all sorts of nutritional programs and gut programs to look at the microbiome inside the gut, and they're fantastic programs. However, if your gut's in lockdown because you're a chronic overbreather, and when you're stressed it's even worse, then you've got to address that too.
Tim, this is absolutely fascinating. What about people who slouch at their desk? That's a common thing you see. You know, everyone, a lot of people are in the office and the slouching position, even though standing desks are more and more common these days, but whenever people sit, very rarely do they sit up nice and straight. What sort of impact can that have?
Well, the primary breathing muscle is that our respiratory system uses. Its favored breathing muscle is the diaphragm. Unfortunately, most of us don't use it very well, but when you slouch, you basically make it very, very difficult for your diaphragm to move. So that forces you into using your upper chest to breathe, which firstly will mean you use less of your lung volume for gas exchange. but it'll also mean that you're more likely to overbreathe again. Slouching will affect, you know, your posture, so it makes it harder to breathe efficiently.
How can we change? Breathing is something that you, unless you are thinking about it, you don't think about it. It's an automatic function of the body. How can you actually change the way that you breathe to a more efficient way?
First and foremost is awareness of the fact that we don't breathe functionally. Awareness that, well, my mouth is actually for eating, talking, kissing, drinking, singing, and not for breathing, unless it's, you know, an emergency, like I mentioned before, someone scares me, or high levels of exercise. So keeping your mouth closed and breathing with your nose. You know, I now look at people walking down the street or someone exercising with their mouth wide open, and I just, look at that mouth breather. And secondly is, you've got to learn it. Basically, the reason why we've unlearned breathing, you know, we're built to breathe a certain way. The reason why we don't breathe the way we should, according to medical diagnostic norms, is that we live in a world we're not necessarily built for. As a result, our body still thinks we're wandering the bush like we would have tens of thousands of years ago, for example, as a hunter-gatherer. So that's how we're built to function. Yet you look at the world now, it's much, much higher paced. There's a lot more stimulus coming in. And so we live in this constant sort of low-level fight or flight functioning. And that has us overbreathe.
For people listening to this today and this weekend, yes, what should they do? If they're keen to improve their health with all the areas that you've mentioned by improving their breathing, have you got an exercise for us?
I can teach a basic exercise. I mean, it would be best if they do some sort of breathing course. Doing a little exercise here might give you some awareness, but to change an old, a very, very old and long habit, you need to be quite constant and, you know, really persistent with it. So if we were to do a little exercise, the first thing I would like people to do is to, when they diaphragm breathe, just imagine your belly's like a balloon and it expands. Your belly expands on inhale, and then we let it gently recoil. You don't force it on exhale, you just let it gently, like the balloon's gently deflating. So if we were to doing a basic breathing exercise, we want our exhale to be at least 50% longer than our exhale. So if everyone sits up straight so they can use their diaphragm, they close their mouth. So we're looking for slow, steady, gentle breathing, not audible, deep breathing. That's a bit of a myth, deep breathing. So if everyone sits up, ready to use our nose, imagining our bellies like our balloons, starting to inhale, 1, 2, 3, gently exhale, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Inhale, 1, 2, 3. Gently exhale, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Gently in, 1, 2, 3. Gently out, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And so on. The rhythm is important. We want exhale to be longer than inhale. According to medical diagnostic norms, exhale should be longer than inhale. It's actually really important for our nervous system as well as our breathing function.